comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome one and all to episode 10 of Nerds United. That's right, we finally made it to double digits. I wasn't sure if it would ever happen, but it did. Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, Greg Mahochko with you, your host. And I certainly don't want to say leader of the nerd world. This is an episode devoted to casting some of our favorites, or maybe some that we found difficult to cast in the past, but I'm certainly in no way casting myself as leader of the nerd world. We have far, far superior individuals with the ability to leap tall buildings in a single bound, and I don't know, we better people than me to lead this circle, this geek culture. Anyway, welcome, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening. I appreciate you tuning in. Put the call out earlier this week saying, you know, first of all, I need to get a new show out. So this is it. And secondly, wanted to do something a little different because I didn't have a guest lined up for episode 10. So I said, let me examine some superheroes or maybe villains that you had, you know, in Hollywood, of course, is doing their thing with the comic book movies, which I'm still a big fan of, and I'm appreciative that, you know, things like this. When I was a kid, I remember a conversation specifically. It was with my friend Alex, and we were sitting there in the driveway. You know, we were shooting hoops and talking and whatnot. We were both X-Men fans, of course, the cartoon. And he said, you know, they're making an X-Men movie. Now, this is 1993. I said, no, there's no way they can make an X-Men movie. Are you serious? You can't. How are you going to get the optic beams, you know, out of Cyclops' eyes? And how are you going to get the claws out of Wolverine's, you know, hands? There's no way that they're going to be making an X-Men movie. Well, sure enough, a few years down the road, they made an X-Men movie. They had Sykes, Optic Red Blast. They had, of course, Wolverine. They had Toad, Magneto. This is, you look back, this probably looks Stone Age technology. I haven't watched the original X-Men in a long, long time, but it probably looks on par. You know, if you were in the mid-90s, it probably looks like the original Clash of the Titans, Henry Hammond film that also had Lawrence, oh, I can't remember his name now. Lawrence Olivier, yeah, as Zeus, and it looks bad. I mean, it's culty, it's kind of retro now. I still enjoy the movie, but it doesn't look good. And for a movie that came out the same year as Star Wars, or maybe even a year before, you know, Star Wars, of course, Lucasfilm did so much more with the technology at the time, but even that antiquated compared to now. I'm not saying we need more, you know, 90% blue screen movies from the Star Wars or from any. I really like how things have been going. Obviously, Man of Steel, The Avengers, Captain America, which we're going to get later. By the way, Man of Steel 2, if you didn't hear, I'm sure you have. Release date got pushed back to early May of 2016. Going to go head-to-head with potentially an X-Men or at least a Marvel film at that time. We will see, as Marvel has traditionally tried to put a movie out the first weekend of May. We'll see how that one goes. And they try to get to that pre-Memorial Day, you know, box office success. So anyway, what I did is I put the call out. I said, I'm in a casting mood. I'm in a more contemplative mood rather than just the ramblings that you're accustomed to here at Nerds United. So leave me as comments some superheroes that you want me to cast, and I'll give you my suggestions. And I anticipate that the post on this either on Facebook or on Twitter or maybe even the comment section, which, by the way, if you have ever commented on the site, jitterymonkey.com, there's a good chance that it has been deleted. And for that, I apologize. It's just that we get so much spam, and I have yet to – I've set the spam filters, but they don't – they're not taking hold. So I apologize for that. Comment on Facebook or send a tweet for any of our Jittery Monkey shows and certainly more that are in the works. And let your voice be heard, again, Facebook and Twitter, until you get the heads up from me or somebody else that the comments are working properly on WordPress. Otherwise, they're just going to get mowed down with all the other spam. So anyway, I put out the call and had just a couple people, but it was Andrew and Josh. Andrew and Josh, loyal listeners. So appreciate their input, their participation. And Andrew said, "You know, would it be too easy?" I think even would it be too much to ask to just cast the Justice League? Let's start there. We're going to start in DC, and then we'll work our way over to Marvel. Be honest with you, I'm very happy with the casting of Superman slash Clark Kent as Henry Cavill. I was a big fan of his going in, especially seeing some initial concept art, some of the initial released art, production art, and then I saw the movie and was sold on Henry Cavill as Superman. Batman also, there are a couple that you could say, Josh Brolin perhaps. Let's not forget though that he had a fantastic run as Jonah Hex, and we don't want to take that away from him. Here's the thing about Jonah Hex. I'm getting off topic. Jonah Hex starred Josh Brolin. It also starred Megan Fox. And as far as, there were a couple smaller parts in there. Michael Fassbender, Magneto was in Jonah Hex. And John Malkovich and Jeffrey Dean Morgan played Malkovich's son. If you don't know much about Jonah Hex, I think the more you know about Jonah Hex, the character from the comics and whatnot, you might be a reason to be a bit more disappointed. I watched it with no expectations going in, and it's a good popcorn muncher. That's a term that we use sometimes. You sit down, you throw it in, you don't have to think about it. You've got some action, you've got some explosions, and you've got a relatively attractive woman who's showing her legs. There you go, popcorn muncher. So anyway, but Josh Brolin, certainly saw his name up plenty of times when Batman was, after it was announced, but before Batman was cast. Another one that was tossed around was John Hamm. We'll talk more about him later. But Batman, Ben Affleck, Batfleck, if you will, I don't have much of a problem with that. Interesting to see how Affleck pulls it off. Again, had a much maligned, perhaps criticized, trip under a cowl of a different color, if you will, when Affleck played Daredevil, of course, which we'll talk more about Daredevil as well. Wonder Woman, I talked about this a couple of shows ago in the casting of Gal Gadot, the Israeli model and actress, and I believe she was Miss Israel, something like that. Anyway, Gal Gadot, getting a lot of heat. Now, I'm not saying that she's going to be bad for the role of Wonder Woman, Princess Diana, but there are a lot of people saying, she needs to be beefier. Now, I'm sure she's working out, but then she needs to be, come on, Greg, she needs to be, wink, wink, beefier, if you know what I mean. She's an Amazon, full-bodied, if you know what I'm saying. Again, there are a lot of people out there who are saying that. I'm going to let it go to the point that, we'll see what she does, how she does in the movie. Again, she relatively small role, apparently, in the Batman, Superman, Man of Steel 2, however you want to title the movie, cameo, but obviously probably going to lead to her own movie and then, part of the Justice League down the road. So we'll see. That being said, in doing some search, I found Gina, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, Gina Carano, I don't know. That accidentally rhymed. Anyway, she was in Fast and Furious 6 alongside, the likes of Vin Diesel and The Rock and Paul Walker, may he rest in peace. She was also Crush on the new American Gladiators back in 2008. So I think the physique certainly is more in line with what people think or expect when they consider an Amazon warrior. You know, the muscles are there. Still got the dark hair. The one picture, the best picture I should say that I could find, made it look like she had brown eyes. I don't know. I tend to envision Wonder Woman with blue eyes. I think that's, you know, on the artist perhaps. Maybe a somewhere set in stone in DC in the DC records. You know, Batman will always be you know, a figure who is seeking justice for those who don't have the means to, you know, seek justice themselves. Superman will always have the little curl in the front, and Wonder Woman will always have X-colored eyes. I don't know. But anyway, I liked Gina Carano as Wonder Woman. Green Lantern, I'm going to go with the biggest celebrity Green Lantern fan that I know of, who's also, you know, this is we're going to get into Brown Coat here a little bit, but I'm going to go with Nathan Fillion. If you know Nathan Fillion, you know what a treasure he is. That's right, I'm using the word treasure. In the geek community, the guy would, I think, do anything for his fans. I'm a big fan of his work. He's voiced Green Lantern before in a few of the DC Animated Universe pictures. He's also, you know, been a superhero-esque type. He was looked more on as the villain, but the perception in the picture itself, obviously, oddly enough, a Joss Whedon production. If you haven't seen Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, you need to. I know you can check it out on Netflix. I have it perennially in my list, if you will, and I watch it a couple times a month. And Nathan Fillion in that played Captain Hammer. But also, Nathan Fillion, he was Hermes in the latest Percy Jackson movie, Sea of Monsters. I know that because I've read all the Percy Jackson books. I'm a fan. I'd really like to get the author on the show sometime. We'll put that one on the to-do list for 2014, Rick Riordan. But definitely, Fillion in the role as Hermes looked like he put on a little bit of weight. He's getting older, though. So I could still see, though, you know, him throwing on the bomber jacket as Hal Jordan, and certainly the ring as the Green Lantern. So we're going to go with Nathan Fillion there. For the Flash, Ryan Gosling. Why? Ryan Gosling is, I think he's an underrated and amazing actor. And by that, I mean, because it's, you know, can it be both? Certainly. I mean, you don't say he's underrated and then, you know, that he's a horrible actor. But he's a guy that, you know, he certainly has had his romps in the romantic movie. I mean, I know him. I initially saw Ryan Gosling in Remember the Titans, the football movie based in Virginia, you know, in the civil rights era. You know, Denzel Washington was in that movie and several others, a young Hayden Panettiere in that movie. But anyway, I first remember seeing Gosling, and that kid, you know, was a good-looking guy, you know, and I think as he got older and more mature, I think he makes the ladies swoon. Doesn't make me swoon, but that, you know, he's not my type. But anyway, Gosling, he's fit. I mean, he can put on the muscle we've seen for some of his roles, and he's got a bit of a charm that Flash has. Flash and Green Lantern are just some, you know, they're pals. They are. If you go back to the beginning of Blackest Night, it's Flash who's in the cemetery looking down at Hal Jordan. You're like, man, I can't believe he's actually gone. So there's a friendship there. And I think Gosling could play very well off of Nathan Fillion. Fillion, of course, looking at Hal Jordan is kind of a cut-up character as well. Not always serious, but certainly serious when he needs to be. And I think of Mal from the show. Now it's left my Firefly. Yeah, there we go. Again, Joss Whedon, the TV show that lasted, sadly, just one one season. I miss it, Firefly. One of the better intros, one of the better music, TV show themes that I've heard. Anyway, we're getting off. We're going back to Nathan Fillion. We need to move forward. Andrew said, you know, Justice League, and Josh said cast Aquaman as well. Aquaman, of course, at times, this is why I'm throwing him here, at times he's been part of the Justice League. So, that being said, for Aquaman, and again, this is out of the Christopher Nolan universe, so I don't want to hear any crap for it, but I think you need somebody who can, you know, stand up and attest that, you know what, they're a bit more, because you got to remember, Aquaman is king of Atlantis, he's the king of the seas. And so you have to have somebody, I believe, a bit more regal. Maybe somebody with a British accent, which I don't have. Almost went into Russian. So I went with Tom Hardy. Of course, he played Bane. Yes, we all know that. But he's also a tremendous actor with the ability to, you know, show that range. And again, he can put the build on that you would expect from a hero. You know, Aquaman is a hero. Plus, under the new Geoff Johns Aquaman, he's kind of a badass too, and Tom Hardy certainly fits the bill. So let's stay in DC for just a little while longer. Got a few more that I was asked to cast. We're gonna start with a new Joker. Josh asked to, you know, cast a new Joker. The tough part about that is that Heath Ledger's Joker is still so fresh in our mind. And there's a lot of hype surrounding that, and the reason that it was so successful at the box office is, you know, because of the untimely death of Ledger himself. So they were like, what possibly drove him to this? And there was a lot of speculation about a correlation in I think many fans or the public's mind that in order to get ready mentally for the role of the Joker, he had to do, you know, he had to spend a lot of time alone and do some darker things, you know, as he surrounded himself, wrapped himself up in that role. So it's very difficult because that role, and I'm not saying it was the role that cost, you know, Heath Ledger's life. That don't stop right there if that's what you think. But because he died 6 months, you know, before that movie came out, there's still a lot of people that, you know, just like the, you know, before Heath Ledger, there was the, you know, the Mark Hamill Joker from the animated series and the Jack Nicholson Joker. There's just so much. Joker's one of those characters that really gets to people and puts on memorable performances, I think, because of the kind of character that he is, whether you play him off a little bit lighter or if you go dark like they did in Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. So I don't know. But for my Joker, I'm going with a guy who hasn't spent a whole lot of time in films but had a nice long run on a recently wrapped up show on HBO. I know you've heard of the show, Dexter. I'm going with Michael C. Hall for Joker. I've been watching some Dexter. My wife loves the show, and to her fault, she watches a lot of it without me. So where she's on season 4 or 5, I'm on season 1, but I've seen episodes of 2, 3, 4, and 5 just because she won't wait for me. Come on, wife. Come on, honey. Anyway, you see that there's a – and again, a lot of it's the writing. A lot of it's that character, that Dexter character, but you see that there's a method in Michael C. Hall, I think, that brings out the best, the little, some of the facial quirks and things that I've seen in him on that show. I think, you know what, he would make a good Joker. So that's why I went with Michael C. Hall for that. Now, for Harley, Harley's a different animal altogether because you're talking about Dr. Quinn, who Dr. Quinzel, who was a – I almost went back to the medicine woman, didn't I? For those of you who had TVs back in the early 90s, which was all of us. Anyway, almost went there. But Dr. Harleen Quinzel, you know, started out as a young but – I believe respected individual in the I don't know, psych psychiatric or psychological medical community, however you want to word it. Anyway, she went to Arkham, of course. You probably know the story. Went to Arkham to study the Joker and then fell in love and kind of got turned and twisted. So you got to have, I think, if you were doing maybe a Joker Harley movie, and I'm not saying they should, I'm not saying they shouldn't, it's kind of tough to beat the mad love that Paul Dini and Bruce Timm put out in paper. But if you did that, I think you need somebody who can cover both sides. Now, you could look at it from the downside is she's already working on a Marvel project. By that, I mean 20th Century Fox, and by that, I mean X-Men. Jennifer Lawrence. I know, she's Katniss Everdeen, the girl on fire, or whatever. But I also think that, you know, she's got the playfulness to be Harley Quinn, while also, if necessary, or when necessary, the more serious tone for Dr. Harlene Quinzel, you know, especially in the backstory type. So that's why I'm going with, what, J-Law? Is that what they're... Why can't we just call people by their actual name? Come on, Hollywood Reporter or whoever. Why do we have to be J-Law? Why can't we just call it Jennifer Lawrence? Do you think that if somebody would have, you know, said, hey, Frank Sinatra, we're going to call you F-Sin, that dude would have got punched. Anyway, I'm ranting now. We're going to do one more in the DC universe before switching to Marvel. And we got a request, if you will, to cast Nightwing. Nightwing was tough for me because I know, you know, of Dick Grayson, Robin. I know that he transcends or evolves, if you will, as an adult into the Nightwing character. But I just couldn't, and this was the last one, you know, after starting my list at the top and working my way down, this is the last one that I, you know, thought of and came up with. And it's probably not going to be a name that you recognize, but when I tell you, you know, what he's been in, okay. And again, you got to go with somebody with an impressive physique because Nightwing, you know, the famous Flying Graysons, and so he's got to be able to, you know, be that stunt or at least have that stunt type of look. So for that, I'm going with Sam Claflin. Now, if you're not sure who Sam Claflin is, perhaps you have seen the latest Hunger Games Catching Fire. If you have seen Hunger Games Catching Fire, he played Finnick. Finnick Adair, Finnick O'Dare, Finnick O'Crap, I don't know. But anyway, he was in... Sam Claflin had a role in that, a pretty pivotal role. He had a big role in it, and certainly in the Hunger Games movies to follow. You know, as they take the third book, Mockingjay, and break it up into two movies. Anyway, so Sam Claflin, impressive physique again, kind of has a little bit of that, you know, boyhood charm, boyish charm. I can see him being a successful Nightwing. Again, that's me. As we jump to Marvel, where Josh wanted me to start was, hey, cast the new Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four, of course, is a movie that, again, relatively fresh in our minds. And Jessica Alba, of course, as Miss, you know, the Invisible Girl. And then you have now Captain America. If you ask Chris Evans, would you rather play the Human Torch, Johnny Storm, or would you rather play Captain America? And, oh, by the way, rake in all that Avengers money. I think Chris made the right move, but to each their own. They are coming out with I guess in the works is a Fantastic Four project that I'm trying to get some more information on, and it's called The Fantastic Four. Nobody at this time is cast, but I'll tell you what I know from IMDb. Miles Teller, Kit Harington, Anton Yelchin, and Jack O'Connell auditioned for the role of Reed Richards. Michael B. Jordan is the director's first choice to play Johnny Storm. And Kate Mara, Margot Robbie, Allison Williams, and, I'm going to mispronounce this one, Sayoris, close enough, Sayers, whatever, Ronan, is auditioned or has auditioned for the role of Susan Storm. That's taking that straight from IMDb, and the only reason that I struggled so much with those names is because I just looked it up now for the first time. Anton Yelchin, really one of the few names in there that I actually recognize. He was Charlie Bartlett, of course. He was in both Star Trek movies as the Russian kid. I can't even remember his name. Again, Star Wars or Star Trek? Star Trek. Anyway, but Kate Mara was in. She was in Shooter, opposite of Mark Wahlberg. She was also in We Are Marshall. So again, not necessarily one that I would pick. What I did when I looked at the Fantastic Four is I tried to get some similar age groups, because you've got Reed Richards, who marries Sue Storm. Sue Storm is Johnny Storm's older sister. And then you have Ben Grimm, who's just, I don't know, Ben Grimm. So I try to look at their looks, their ages, and see if they were comparable. So here's what I have for my Fantastic Four. Reed Richards, I've got Matt Bomer. If you don't know who Matt Bomer is, you've been living under a rock. As USA Network's White Collar is one of my favorite shows on TV. It's smart. It's funny. Bomer is a guy who kind of looks the part, you know, and having that Manhattan connection, because White Collar takes place in New York City. And, of course, that's where the Baxter Building is. So that's why I went with Bomer. Again, looks the part, kind of that chiseled physique. I think a little bit better than the previous Reed Richards, who was Ian Gruffudd, or Gruffudd, or I don't know, whatever. Similar facial characteristics, but Bomer, I think, would probably be, you know, certainly get the ladies in, because I guess he's a handsome man. For Susan Storm, again, went with someone who was age comparable, and I think Storm, I think this actress comes in about 3 years younger than Bomer, and that's Yvonne Strahovski. If I'm mispronouncing that, it's acceptable. I know her as Sarah Walker on TV's Chuck. That's a show that I've been also. I don't watch anything on TV. I catch it on Netflix. So there's your plug for Netflix. But not only was she on Chuck, but she was in the upcoming I, Frankenstein later this year. She was in Killer Elite in 2011. She had a small role in The Guilt Trip. Voiced on Mass Effect 3, just kind of been a little bit all over the place. Going to have a role in the, Persons of Interest, but probably most well known for Chuck. She was also on Dexter, oddly enough, for a little while as well. So anyway, I went with Yvonne Strahovski for my Susan Storm, and for Johnny Storm, Alex Pettifer. And Pettifer was in the movie, I believe it was Beastly. Also, The Number Four, or I Am Number Four. What else has Pettifer done? He was in Magic Mike. That's I haven't seen that movie. he was in The Butler that came out. He was in Time. Again, just some... In Time is another one that Bomer was in, of course. A bit of a unique concept, but I went with Alex Pettifer for Johnny Storm. Again, looks are comparable to Susan Storm, a few years younger, able to play that younger brother, you know, smart-ass role just a little bit, as right now Pettifer is only 23 years old and Strahovski's 30, 31, something like that. But anyway, so those are the three. And then the fourth of the Fantastic Four, of course, you can't have Fantastic Four without Ben Grimm, the Thing, and reuniting, if you will, you know, we talked about the Hunger Games, you know, Jennifer Lawrence and Sam Claflin, Harley Quinn and Nightwing, as I cast them. We're going to go back to Chuck again, but he's been in many things. Adam Baldwin, who, of course, Chuck did several other things. My first, he was Animal Man in, not the comic Animal Man, or Animal Mother, I think, is what it was. Full Metal Jacket. I did not realize that Adam Baldwin is going to be 42 years old this year. Younger. I thought he was younger than that. He was also in Independence Day, of course, Serenity, and was also on Firefly with the aforementioned Nathan Fillion, and also apparently did a bit of voice work in the comic realm for both the Batman Arkham Origins. He was Captain Rick Flagg, and in Injustice, he actually voiced Green Lantern and Hal Jordan. So in a couple other you know, cartoon things, getting good actor. Big fan of his work. You can see him, you know, all over the place. Just, you know, he's, I think, a character actor, but he plays, you know, a little bit of that military, you know, background and whatnot. So, big fan of Adam Baldwin, and looking for, you know, if I was casting it, I'd have no problem, you know, putting him in as Ben Grimm. A couple other ones that came in from the Marvel Universe from Josh, and he asked about Kingpin, Daredevil, Doctor Strange. So a little bit of that Hell's Kitchen, you know, atmosphere. Kingpin, I found, was tough because, I don't know. When Kingpin was in Daredevil, in, you know, back in 2003, and of course played by just a fantastic actor in Michael Clark Duncan, I was not opposed to it. I just didn't know if it was the right fit. I think Kingpin is a little less physical. I know that he's a mountain of a man, but I think he's a little less physical and a bit more just maddeningly, you know, intelligent, psychotically intelligent. Maybe that's the word I'm trying to say. Sharp businessman, shrewd human being. So for that, I went with Philip Seymour Hoffman. But not just any Philip Seymour. And I'm not saying that Philip Seymour Hoffman would have to shave his head for the role. But I'm talking about the Philip Seymour Hoffman from Mission Impossible 3. He was a terrific bad guy in that movie. So that's where my head went with Kingpin after a lot of deliberation. Again, couldn't really find one. Daredevil. Daredevil was tough because we've already, again, seen Daredevil, but it's been now 11 years since Ben Affleck put on the red cowl with the little devil horns and you know, jumped around Hell's Kitchen. So for my, if you will, interpretation of Daredevil, I went with a guy a bit younger. He's not quite 30 yet, but he's been in some tough roles. Four Brothers and Troy. If you know who I'm talking about yet, I can keep going. He was in Tron Legacy, which I know a lot of people said, it was Tron Legacy. What do you expect out of that movie? But I'm going with Garrett Hedlund. He's held his own against some heavy hitters in Hollywood. Obviously, I mean, you know, Brad Pitt, Wahlberg, and the group from, you know, Four Brothers. And then in Tron Legacy, when it was, you know, a lot of screen time shared with Jeff Bridges and Olivia Wilde. So, again, that's where I went with it. Look is close. If you look at his main IMDb picture, you're going to be like, that's no way. Do a Google image search of Garrett Hedlund. You're going to find some better art, perhaps, better interpretations. Anyway, wrapping things up for this casting call, if you will, Doctor Strange. And I know that it was reported anyway, Doctor Strange was just cast just within the last week. So let me go here and see what I can find, and then we'll go from there. Doctor Strange movie is, you know, I think I was supposed to get a name or two, but I missed that one. I don't have that one on the list. Anyway, Doctor Strange. It was recently reported that Jon Hamm was going to be Doctor Strange, which, you know, Jon Hamm, of course, a St. Louis-born actor or native, you know, St. Louisan, but he got famous for Don Draper, Mad Men. I don't know how good or bad of a job he's going to do. Doctor Strange is not a character that I'm really familiar with, so I'll be interesting to see how Ham handles that. Now, going from what I know, now we're saying that, you know, Marvel was wanting Johnny Depp. But again, then we've got, again, rumors. Who knows? All I know is that I think that a really good actor for Doctor Strange would be Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Of course, he was on The Tudors. I think he's got another show out right now in that, as like a Dracula show or something, you know, some kind of vampire thing. Anyway, I think I know he's a terrific actor. I just don't know. I think that Marvel would be wise to stay away from Johnny Depp, as Johnny Depp tends to take over a movie, you know, without letting the bulk of the story shine through, because everybody, you know, loves Johnny Depp. So I would stay away from Johnny Depp. I thought that it was reported that John Hamm, you know, won the role or was offered the role, but I'm saying Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Look him up if you're not familiar with what he's done. Pretty good stuff. Very much, I think, looked the part of Doctor Strange. So that's it. I've been here long enough that now my wife probably wonders where I've been. I spent a couple of hours here before getting in the studio talking with my buddy Jake. And Jake's somebody that I hope to get on. Maybe not Nerds United, but certainly won't turn him away. But definitely another Jittery Monkey podcast in the near future. Guys, great talker with a lot of good stories. Like to and full of opinion. So wouldn't mind getting Jake on a podcast, or maybe even having him host his own someday. But that's all the time we have for now. Hope you enjoyed this casting call. Make sure that you listen to the show, or as you listen to the show, leave a comment, Facebook, drop me a tweet at Nerds United Show. I think that's what it is. I should know that. I don't. Anyway, drop a tweet, Facebook, of course, leave a comment there, and we'll see you next time for episode 11 of Nerds United. I'm going to go home and have some dinner.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.